We've been presenting an occasional series of teenage diaries, personal stories recorded by young people. Producer Joe Richman has given tape recorders to teenagers around the country to document their own lives. This time out, we meet Mandy Maldonado. She lives in Chicago, where she attends an evangelical Christian church. Every Sunday, Maldonado arrives at least an hour early for services, because that's one of the things you do when your father is the pastor.
Well, right now I'm down in the first floor of a church. Oh, cool, my mom's here. Say hey, Mom.
Hi, Mom.
Ha-ha. I guess I'm going to introduce myself, okay? Let's see, my name is Amanda Marie Maldonado. I am 17 years of age. I was named after, it was like a popular singer near the time I was born, and they had a daughter named Amanda. My mom liked the group, so she named me after their daughter. Weird, huh? But everybody calls me Mandy. And my dad. Okay, Dad, what's the message for today?
I'm going to talk about victory over temptation.
Victory over temptation. Got it.
My dad is the pastor of the church. My church is evangelical, Christian, predominantly Hispanic. It's more of like a neighborhood church.
While you're up, if you want to get a Bible in the back there.
Uh-oh, church is about to get started.
This is Father of Lights. This is a good story.
Father of Lights, you delight in your children.
Being a pastor's kid it's got its pros and its cons, you know, because you could sit up in the front row and, like, everyone knows who you are, and even if you don't know who they are, you know. But the con of it is that people automatically get this idea. It's kind of funny because although some people think that, like, PKs or pastor's kids are sweet little angels, I mean, I'll admit, I'm no angel.
Oh, Lord, my God and King.
That's a pretty song. Testing, testing. Okay, let's see what I can hear. That would be Sugar, probably barking at one of her toys or whatever. I don't know. This is the room of a pastor's daughter, I guess. You got the inside look. I've got pictures on my desk of guys that I've gone out with. And then on my wall above that, it's got transfers all over my wall. And transfers are from the bus. And each date has something special on it. For instance, if I were to look at, June 18th, that was the day that my boyfriend and I broke up. Let's see. Oh, here's a song. It kind of has romantic meaning, because when I broke up with my ex-boyfriend or whatever, that was the song that I played on his voicemail. I never had a boyfriend before, because I was always chubby as a little girl. And I was flattered that this guy liked me. Oh, how flattered I was. I'd never had a boy like me before. Not like one that would go out with me. And I was like, I'm gonna do this, even though my parents say I can't.
I pretended I'm glad you went away. These four walls closing more every day. And I'm dying inside. And nobody knows it but me.
I don't know. He's basically the one that started my track with guys. He was the first one that anything ever happened with me. I mean, he was my first kiss. I always thought it was real cool because, like, he was the first one that, like, touched my butt. People are always saying how teenagers don't know, like, what true love is and the real meaning of love or whatever. But I know that we loved each other. At least I loved him, and he told me he loved me. And as a result of that, we began to do things that we shouldn't have done. You know, things that teenagers do that aren't supposed to do until you're married or whatever. But I knew it was wrong, but I figured, hey, as long as I don't get caught, you know?
And nobody knows it but me.
When my parents found out, they went ballistic or whatever.
It was horrible. It was the most terrible time in my whole life as a parent. So, you asked me, Mandy.
Your words are very descriptive.
I'm sorry. But you asked me how was it for me. It was devastating.
I know.
I mean, I don't blame them. I really don't. My family believed one thing about me, and I wasn't what they believed. And so that really affected them. Ever since then, we really haven't talked about it.
To find out, Mandy, that you had a whole life that was unknown to us, I was traumatized. I can't even describe it. I feel like I'm stuttering here. But here we are all this time later, and I just want you to know that I love you very much, and I didn't know that I could. I mean, I didn't know that I could still love someone that I felt betrayed by and hurt by. But I'm proud of you. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, I know what you're saying.
So I just wanted to make sure you knew that.
Like, a lot of the things I had to hide from them just because I wasn't supposed to have a boyfriend. He wasn't a Christian. And it's basically that in order to have a boyfriend, he's got to come and talk to my dad.
The reality is that just look around you of how many kids get hooked up together or get married or just start living together. Every dating situation is a marriage situation, and the scriptures teach, and we believe it's wise, to not be unequally yoked with someone that doesn't know the Lord.
Did you ever think I was the black sheep in the family? Am I the bad little girl?
No, we have had enough dealings with all of the kids. We certainly don't fit the stereotypical category of a pastor's family. Yeah, we pretty much have speckled sheep in this this family.
Right now, I am at Camp Winona in Florida. Last year, you know, I was just like, well, yeah, you know, I don't have time. And this year, I'm like, no, I got to make time for God.
So if God's done something cool in your life this week, why don't you just come on up and say, when I came here this week, I was talking to Chris, and I told him, if I can have a sign from God that can prove to me that he was real, then I can believe. And tonight, he's giving me that sign. So what are you going to do about it? I'm going to try to become a Christian as hard as I can.
I started going on retreats, and I'd never been on a retreat. And that's when you go out, and it's basically like a weekend where you totally just spend every time, you know, talking about God. You know, they do give you free time, you know, which is totally cool, because you get to go hang out with your friends, you know, flirt with the guys or whatever. This is my friend Chris. Say hi, Chris.
Hi.
Oh, that guy was so cute. Oh, tall. Nice body, wavy hair, oh, blue eyes. Oh, he was beautiful. Right now I'm walking from my cabin, and I don't know, and I'm just kind of bummed because my youth leader saw me like laying on this guy's shoulder, and I was sleeping on his shoulder, and she said that wasn't a good idea. I'm like, I flirt with guys a lot and stuff or whatever. So I like get a guy and, you know, I'll feel better about myself. But I don't want that to be the case anymore. I want to feel better about myself because God makes me feel better about myself. So this morning I prayed or whatever. I don't know, I'm out here. I don't know, just bumming, chilling. I've always had a leaning towards guys. I mean, it's kind of funny and it's kind of bad and sometimes it's very lonely. I mean, people may not see it as though I'm lonely, but I actually am sometimes. And when I went to Florida, I made the decision that I didn't want that to be the situation. You know, as much as I like guys and as, you know, as cute as they are or whatever, I made a commitment for God to be my guy.
Where's Mandy? She's here on the floor interviewing me.
And just to make the comment clear, I have no problems with boys because there are no boys.
Mandy has no problem with boys because she's living the life of a
single 90s woman.
Sequestered nun for like 6 days now.
Yeah, it's been tough, and I'm toughing it out.
Yeah, that's right. Poor little teen. You can do it.
Jesus, let us come to you. Let us see you.
I was raised to believe my parents believe. A lot of teenagers today, they don't have their own belief.
Touch us, hold us.
You know, I've had one vision in my life. And I mean, it's really like one of those corny visions, but it was still a vision, you know, and it's still clear in my head. I was in a green pasture, and it's kind of like one of those pastures that you see like on a picture, you know, where it's green and it looks fake green or whatever. And there was Jesus, this big, I mean, he was huge, this huge white body with flaring white clothes. I mean, like, he stood there and seriously shined. He held out his hands, you know, I couldn't do anything but run to him. And I ran like I'd never run before. You know, I mean, it was just one of those things. But it was awesome. You know, I mean, once I was saved, you know, it's kind of like, phew.
Jesus, let us draw ever nearer. And when the end comes,
A Teenage Diary written and recorded by Mandy Maldonado and produced by Joe Richmond, part of an occasional series.